12 and read a few more verses with that verse. First Corinthians chapter 12, once again, this time we begin in verse 7. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he had people in that church that was questioning his authority, questioning his wisdom, and that's what all of these statements he's making is about. He's explaining how much revelation he had been given and how he could have been a little more heavy-handed with them than he was. And he's explaining that to them in a very nice, tad bit sarcastical way. But here we see, beginning in verse 7, "At least I should be exalted above measure." And I want you to note, it says this twice in verse 7. And it should be, you having trouble hearing over there? I'll talk louder. You're welcome. "At least I should be exalted above measure," at the beginning of the verse and then at the ending of the verse. So we want to get this. This is the reason that he's been given this thorn in the flesh. He said, "Through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Last week, our message was on the completeness that we have in Christ. We are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And in Him dwells all the fullness of God in a body, in a man, in a person. And He is in us, and we are in Him, and we are complete in Christ. Well, this morning, I would like to take it just a little further and speak specifically that while we are complete in Christ, one of the most precious aspects of our completeness in Christ is the sufficiency of His grace. So in our experience, Christ's completeness, as we experience the joy and the life lived of being complete in Christ, we find that His grace is sufficient. First of all, this morning I want you to consider what it is in the most basic terms for the Lord to tell us that His grace is sufficient. This word sufficient is to have unfailing strength, to suffice, to be enough. It's the Greek word archaeo. Now, that is in the present tense, meaning that it is a fact, a reality occurring in time. Is sufficient. Not was, not will be sufficient, although grace was sufficient. And grace will always be sufficient. Grace is in the eternal present, always sufficient. Transcending was and will be, grace is eternally sufficient. Its nature is eternally connected to its sufficiency. And this word archaeo in our text, sufficient, is in the active voice, meaning the subject is the performer of the action. The subject is the doer of the action. The action is sufficiency. The performer, the doer of the sufficiency, is the subject, and that's the grace of God. The grace of God is actively sufficient. The grace of God is doing this. So it's present tense indicative, just for your extra knowledge. It means it's a statement of fact. It is, and it is what grace does. Sufficiency. Sufficiency is what grace does. That wraps it up. Now we get to look at all the details. Grace is sufficient. Grace is a divine perfection. Grace has such a diversity of applications in the Word of God. It is hard to define grace with one single definition. Sufficiency, that's easier. That's much easier to talk about sufficiency and define what that means. But grace is an overarching, multifaceted attribute of God, exercised at every phase in the salvation of sinners. Grace is love acting through righteousness, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the behalf of undeserving, hell-deserving sinners. It cannot be earned. No way. No how. See, it is God's mercy that keeps us from getting what we do deserve. It is God's grace that gives us what we never could deserve. And far more than we do deserve. Grace is one of the primary reasons that we are here this morning. I said that earlier. But it's not just by the grace of God that we're here, but we're here to praise Him for His grace, to give glory to the Lord for what He's done for us in His grace. If it were not for the grace of God, we would have no purpose here this morning. We are here for that reason, to give glory unto the Lord. We come to the house of God to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why do you get up and get dressed up and get your Bible and go down to the house of God, take your tithe in there and worship the Lord? Because of His grace. Because of His grace. He's so gracious to us. We come to praise the Lord, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. His amazing grace is sufficient for us. We come to tell Him, thank you. Thank you, Lord. When we pray, when we sing, when we're preaching, we thank Him. We're thanking Him. We're here giving thanksgiving unto God for this wonderful thing called grace. It's His expression of His love. Grace is how God expresses His love to us. It's His love in action. It's His love manifested. It's the work of His love is His grace. Grace is love operating. Remember I said it's not easy to make one simple definition. Grace is love operating in all the circumstances of God's relationship with us. Aren't you glad, Brother Dan, that in all the circumstances of His relationship with us, He's working it in grace, not law, not judgment, grace. I'm so glad to know that. See, love has no limits whatsoever. In this sense that love can be between two equals. Love can be extended to those above us or those below us. But grace can only flow downward. Grace can only go down. It only flows down. See, it doesn't take grace for the Father to love the Son. It doesn't take any grace for the Son to love the Father. Now, it's by the grace of God that we love, but in particular, it doesn't really take grace for me to love you, and it doesn't take grace for you to love me. And I know it does take some grace for that, but it's not in the sense that I'm talking about. We can just love. It's not a particular thing so much so. You can love equals. You can love someone above you. You can love someone below you. Love is like that. We can do that. But grace only goes downward. And love to sinners, for God to love sinners, that's another thing. It's God's grace when He does that. See, grace is all the blessings we receive in Jesus Christ. You think, well, which ones aren't grace? That doesn't exist. They're all by grace. Grace is God stooping down. Stooping down. Christ came and He died for us. And when He did that, you know, He couldn't lower the bar. It's His holiness. We couldn't reach it. So he comes down and scoops us up, takes us to the reaching spot we could have never reached. He did it. And God's attitude towards us, God's attitude towards his people is a disposition of grace. Religion. Religion is man's reaching up to God. All the world's religions is some form of man reaching up to God, some form of something man's going to do to reach up to God, to work for God, to do enough sacrificing for God, to labor for God, to try to please God religiously. Christianity is God reaching down to sinful creatures. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in a body, manifest in the flesh. But he was full of grace and truth. Grace came in a body, in a man, that sat on a throne. We see him in Isaiah chapter 6, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And the pillars shook when he spoke. And the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy," continuously. And he came down to us in a body, born at Bethlehem to a young, poor virgin girl. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a life here in flesh and blood, same as we, to suffer, same as we, greater than we. For he had no cause for any of the suffering he had. We bring enough of it on ourselves. He had a ministry of mercy and healing and preaching. And he took that perfect life, God in a body, to Calvary's cross and was nailed to that wood like an animal and gave his life for us. He died. He died. He was dead. But he didn't stay dead. He was dead one day. He was dead 2 days. He was dead 3 days. One preacher gave the story about the devil. Devil got him. Devil said, "Grave, I'm going to give him to you. You're going to hold him." Death and grave. Death and grave, you got to work on this. Death and grave, can you handle this? Death and grave says, "We got it. We had Adam. We still got him. We had David. We still got him. All the patriarchs, all the prophets, we still got all of them. We got it. Don't worry." Satan says, "You sure?" That's just a little story. See, death couldn't hold this one. Death couldn't hold this one. He came up. He came up alive. Stood up again alive. That's what resurrection means. He stood up again alive in his body with all power in his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ. But he came down. Grace is God stooping down to men. We could have never gone up to him. Praise God that he deals with us in grace. He always deals with us in grace. See, the law demands absolute perfection, but grace gives blessings. The law condemns, but grace forgives. The law makes separation due to the guilt that it exposes. Grace draws us near to God. The law says, "Do." Grace says, "Live." Grace sets us free. The grace of God that sets us free. As I said, that's the reason you're here this morning. But you weren't drug here. Now, some of you kids were drug here. So my kids, they say, "Daddy's got a drug problem," right? He drug us to church, drug us to Sunday morning, drug us Sunday night, drug us Wednesday night. Drug us to Bible conferences, drug us to revival, drug us. But his grace sets us free because we desire to do it. And it's the glory of the truth of the liberty of grace that makes us want to do. Want to do. Somebody says, "You should preach grace too much. Grace, grace, grace. Well, if you preach grace like that, everything's free. Everything's grace. It's all the grace of God. Nothing to you. It's all grace." People just go sin and live all however they want to. You just told on yourself. It's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness. It's the liberty and the freedom and the truth and the knowledge of the grace of God that causes us to want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. and praise his holy name and give him glory. Sin brings death, but grace brings life. Grace brings the breaks the power of sin and frees us from the guilt of sin by providing righteousness through another person, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace satisfies the law. Grace made God satisfied with me. The grace of God did that. See, the road to heaven is not a toll road. It's a free road. And on that free road, we were beggars on the side of that road. And the Lord came along and he picked us up. And that road's going to take us all the way to glory. But he didn't have to drag us into the car. He changed our hearts and we want to go. And we're with the Lord and he's going to take us all the way. But it's going to be grace every step of the way. All we provide is the sin. He translated us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He translated you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think with me for a moment. Living in this sin-cursed world, this fallen world that we live in, you can walk around and say, he translated me out of darkness. That means I was blind. I was dead in my sins. He translated me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I can see. Why? Because of the grace of God. It is the God of all grace who gave us his grace to see his grace, that we might see our need of grace and have a desire for grace, that we might seek after grace, and by seeking after grace, receive grace, and we receive grace that we might experience the grace of God, which has already been working in us at Calvary and through the grace of God that was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And when we experience that grace, we praise God for his grace. And we give him glory for his grace. And we begin to grow in grace. And we're preserved and kept by grace. And we hope in the grace of God. We rest and trust in the grace of God. That we will be risen by the grace of God. Glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God. To live eternally by the grace of God. That we might give glory to God for the grace he gave us all the way. And we glorify Christ for his grace. And it's all 100%. Unmerited, demerited favor of God, the grace of God. In every aspect, in every way, grace is sufficient. It's enough. Grace that taught my heart to pray and made my eyes overflow, 'tis grace that kept me to this day and will not let me go. How'd you make it here? After all you've been through, how did you make it? That's the only way you made it. That's what God does. He will not let me go. Grace all the work shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves the praise. Grace. Grace. Now I want to bring this back around from this high doctrine, this theological definition of grace, to what our text is teaching us about grace, and see the practical everyday reality and the benefit of the wonderful grace of God in our daily life. See, God planned it. He planned grace. He did it by grace. Grace made a way. Grace justified. Grace regenerated. Grace sanctifies. Grace glorifies. And this is where I confess to you as your pastor this morning. I feel extremely unworthy this morning to go to this next point. I've been thinking about this text all week, trying to avoid it all week. I tried to run away from this text, scripture, this week. Because I've been struggling with this point myself. But the Lord has a way of turning you around and will teach you through experience. And that is this. The Lord tells Paul in our text, my grace is sufficient. This had to be one of the hardest things he ever heard. But it's the most wonderful thing he ever heard. We have to learn that in whatsoever state we are in, therewith to be content. to be brought low, to be made high, to be full, to be hungry, to abound, to suffer need. You have to go up and you have to go down. You say, I just feel like my life is like up and down and up and down. Welcome to Christianity. We through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Not a maybe, not a might, not a might, hope so. Hope we don't have to. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. We go up, we go down. I can tell you how many Christians told me, I feel like I've been on a roller coaster. Oh, through the years, I've heard that 1,000 times. To be on the top of the mountain, then next thing you know, you're doing without. Next thing you know, everything's fine. Next thing, you're suffering need. Something you need, you can't get. Something you got, you want to get rid of. Either way, it's a thorn. And you learn, I can do all things through Christ. And this is in our text too, which strengtheneth me. Notice there in verse 9, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I can do all things through Christ. What? Because he strengthens me. He didn't say, here, if you'll really rely on him. No, we need to do that. And he's teaching us to do that. But he's just going to do it. You think it's going to swallow you up. You think it's going to kill you. You think it's more than you can handle, more than you can bear. You got that right. But he's going to make a way of escape, and he's going to strengthen you, and he's going to help you. He's going to come, and it's going to be 100% the grace of God, and that's the reason you're sitting here today in the house of God, a child of God, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of his grace. After all you've been through, he strengthens us. He strengthens us. Let us notice here where Paul is coming from. Verse 1, he says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions, revelations of the Lord. Remember earlier I told you the issue was they were questioning his authority, his apostleship. He didn't know that much. People were coming in the church saying, do it this way. Paul didn't know what he's talking about. So he says, it's foolish for me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you some things about myself just to make this clear. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heavens. He said, I knew a man. He's talking about himself. But so you won't want to try to worship him or question him too much or try to get him, pull some of the stuff out of him. It's not lawful for him to even speak of it, he says in a second. But he's talking about himself. He caught up into heaven. Whether in the body, out of the body, I could not tell. That intermediate body, that house in heaven we have that's made without hands, that we groan to be clothed on with. Not the glorified body that's coming up one day, but the one when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved. We have a house in heaven made without hands, eternal in the heavens. And he had that on for a minute. And he's looking at himself and he said, in the body, out of the body, I could not tell. I was caught up. It was probably when he was stoned at Derby. You know, he got up from that stone and was preaching in Lystra the next day. But during that time, it was probably when his spirit, his soul, ascended into heaven. And he says, I knew a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. I couldn't even tell what's going on when I was there. That's how amazing it was. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, you're questioning my authority. I've been to heaven. I'm trying to help you people. And that's the context of why he says these things. For such a one will I glory, yet not in myself. I will not glory, but in my infirmities. In other words, I couldn't do it. I couldn't flat out just say I did that and glory in it. I'm trying not to do that. But you need to understand. He does the same thing to the Galatian brethren. I didn't receive my doctrine from man. I received it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says that to the Galatian brethren to defend his ministry. He had to do it all the time. A lot of people didn't like Paul. Wonder why. Because what he was preaching, they didn't like it. He said, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear. In other words, I'm going to back off of this subject for a second. before I get too far into it. Lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be. I don't want anybody thinking I'm the Lord or something, or if I'm that special. I'm not. I'm nothing. But I have had these blessings. I have had this revelation. And you should be listening to me. And he says, above that which he seeth me to be, are he that heareth of me. So anybody hears about me, I don't want them to hear that I was bragging about myself. I'm just telling you. That's what he's saying. Telling you, this is who I am. This is what I have been through. This is what I brought to you when I came to you. I brought the word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then he says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. Why? He says, through the abundance of revelation. I've been given so much truth. I've been given so much knowledge about the things of God. I know so much. He's still going after him a little bit. You're not listening to me. I know so much about God that I had to have a bad problem to humble me in order for God to use me. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Not buffet him, but to buffet him. Well, Baptists, we like the buffet. We don't want the buffet, we want the buffet. But he was being buffeted. At least I should be exalted above measure. He had the abundance of revelation. It was given to him. Notice it was given. It was given to him. This didn't just happen along. God said, oh, I think that's a good thing for him. It was given to him. It was Satan that brought it, but it was God that sent it. And God knew. And he knows the same thing about us. That if he was going to have this much knowledge, this much understanding of the things of God, that something was going to happen. Going to have to happen to him. A thorn. Something that would cause an ongoing grief and pain in his life. Some constant trouble to keep him trusting God, to keep him humble, to keep his head below the clouds. He was going to have some constant, nagging, ongoing trouble, some grief, some pain, physical affliction or something spiritual, something after him, something that he couldn't solve, something he couldn't handle. If it were not for the grace of God. Therefore, because of that, and let me tell you this first. If you grow in the Lord, if you're going to grow in knowledge in the Lord, in grace of God, if you grow in the Word of God, if you're going to be used by the Lord mightily, if you're going to be used by the Lord and be a benefit to the kingdom of God, you live in danger of developing a prideful spirit. Anybody learning is walking in that danger. Pride, you would say, well, when we learn the truth, especially about the grace, we shouldn't have pride. Somehow we do. The knowledge itself puffs us up because we know so much. Well, then God has to humble you. And if he's going to give you that much knowledge and he's going to teach you and he's going to use you, he's going to make you something worth something, he's going to make you a benefit to the kingdom of God, to other people, if you're going to be used by God, you're going to have to be humbled. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Now, Paul did not say, Lord, I just, while I'm praying for sister so-and-so's gallbladder, would you help me with this problem? I had this thing. That wasn't it. He spent time. He went through a whole process of pleading and begging God as this problem was going on and on in his life. And he begged and he pleaded. I guarantee you, he cried out to God for his mercy and his grace, and couldn't understand why God would do this. This isn't right. This can't work. I can't do this and that at the same time. Won't you set me free and I can really be good for you? I can serve God. I can be everything I need to be if you let this go. God, help me. That's what was going on. The whole process went on. Possibly a little time went by, suffering some more. It flared up until it got so bad, he did it again. God, please, take this away. I can't function under this. Don't you want me to serve you? You're killing me. Three times, he sought the Lord, pleaded with the Lord to help him, to deliver him, This is what the Lord says. The answer from God is this, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, as a child of God, if you've been walking with the Lord very long at all, maybe if you haven't, you don't even understand anything I'm saying. Right there, you just kind of take a big gulp. Because you've heard that before. You heard that from the Lord. That doesn't mean he's not going to, maybe some other time, deliver, for, at least for now. No. My grace is sufficient. Now, it's a two-sided coin. One side of it, you gulp down and you go, whew, we're going to have to go that way. The other side of it is, I'm sure glad I got the grace of God. Because I sure couldn't make it if I didn't. So he supplied the trouble, but he also supplied the way through it. He's going to get me through it. He's going to help me through it. He's going to deliver me. He's going to deliver us from all of our afflictions. Every one of them. They don't all last. They don't come to stay. They come to pass. But while it's going on, my grace is going to get you through it. That's the answer from God. We know. We know. I don't have to twist your arm. It's innate in every child of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. You know that. So when the Lord says, my grace is sufficient, you get your head on straight, get your chin up. He's a lifter upper of your chin. And you say, Lord, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can make it through this. A story was told of this preacher that he'd been preaching for 40 years. And at this time, terrible tragedy happened. And I want you all to be able to relate with this. So I'm going to give you the worst thing I can think of. His family was burned up in a house fire. His children and his wife. And this preacher was so depressed, he couldn't preach. He couldn't live. He was walking down the street one day with his head hung down, and everybody's looking at this preacher, and they knew what happened to him. And he's praying to God, why? Why would you do this to me? I served you faithfully. I preached every week. I fed the people. I served the people. I helped the people. You used me in your kingdom and then do this to me. And this happened to me. And he walks up on this big cathedral. They're building a giant cathedral. And he sees a man beating on a rock with a chisel, a little block. He asks the man, what are you doing with that block right there? So I'm chiseling on it. But what are you going to do with that block? Because this guy's just going at it like he's serious business. He said, you see way up on top of that cathedral, you see that little hole up there? I'm chiseling it down here so it'll fit up there. Let me say that again. I'm chiseling it down here so it'll fit up there. Okay? It's like the man that went to the woodworker one day and he's selling all these sawhorses. And he said, you got these sawhorses. How in the world do you whittle out a sawhorse? He said, well, I take a block of wood and I take away everything that's not a sawhorse. Like a little toy riding horse. He said, I take everything away from it that's not a horse. Well, God has taken everything away from us that's not Christ. And he's faithful to do it. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He's working on us in Christ Jesus. That we're going to fit up there. He's doing it down here. And if he gives us a lot of knowledge and he gives us a lot of blessings, then he's going to have to give us a lot of trouble for us to be humble enough to receive it. Because we can't walk around in pride, puffed up with all the blessings of God and be any good for the kingdom of God. So the Lord's promised us these things. Shouldn't be a surprise. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's just the way the Word of God teaches it. His grace is sufficient then for you. Why is it sufficient? Verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for because my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's why. Why is it sufficient? Because my strength can operate in you when the you's knocked out of you. Then I can operate. Then I can work. If I bring you down to size a little bit, get your head out of the clouds, then you may be some benefit, and I can work through you. The power of Christ cannot. Notice here what it says. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ cannot rest upon you. And God's strength cannot be made what it should be in our lives unless we're made weak. And it has to be that way. And if I think for a moment that I'm worthy or that I'm able, that I'm capable, of the things of God. And that I'm so capable, so able, so worthy that I can be used by God because I'm so anything. Then I am used by God. It's not going to work. If he gives you hard times, he's going to be with you. If he brings trouble, he's going to watch over you. You can be sure of that. You won't be swallowed up. Your enemies will come to you and they will trip before they get there. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Doesn't mean it's not going to be scary. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to pray that psalm. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What's that mean? They're sitting there gnawing their teeth at you and you're enjoying a nice meal and they can't get to you. But at the same time, you're going to have trouble. He's going to watch over you. It's just hard to trust it. It's hard to trust it. But think about it. If he can love you, and he can give his life for you, and if he will give you his Holy Spirit to abide with you, and he'll give you his Holy Word to guide you, and he will providentially watch over you to get you to the preacher, so you can be hear the gospel or some Christian preaching the gospel to you. If he is going to raise you up in glory one day, then him helping you through your trial today is a piece of cake. He's got it. It doesn't feel like he's got it, but his word says he's got it. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust the word of God. And has it let you down yet? Anybody here testify that the word of God did not work? It has not worked for me. It does not mean what it says. Of course, you cannot say that. Paul pleaded with the Lord to remove this thorn, take away this burden. But God's grace is sufficient to get him through, to get you through what it is that his grace brings into your life to humble you. Because he blessed you so much that you have to be humble. Let me say that again. It's God's grace that is sufficient to get you through what his grace brings into your life to humble you, because he's blessed you with so much that you have to be humbled. But grace brought it, and grace is going to bring you through it. He brought you the blessings. He brought you the knowledge. He brought you the knowledge of the things of God. He brought you the ability to have some wisdom and to be used for the kingdom of God. He did that for you by his grace. Then he brought the trouble to humble you by his grace. And now he's going to give you the grace to get you through. He's going to be with you. When through the fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. This is what identifies us with Christ. You realize this is what identifies us with Christ. He was made perfect through sufferings. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that. Made perfect through sufferings. What does he need to be made perfect for? I thought he was already perfect. Well, he's not complete in the work that he was sent to do, to identify with us, to be like us, unless he suffered like we do. Not that he wasn't sinless. We'll be sinless one day, by the way, but now we just sin less. But he was sinless. He was perfect. But he had to be made complete by being made completely like us by suffering. And when we go through these things, we're identifying with him. He suffered. He was tempted. He was crushed under the weight of the burden of my sin and your sin. Crushed under the weight of it. And he died for us. He died. He was dead and he was buried. And then he rose up again from the grave, victorious, alive. If he'll do that for you, he's sure going to make sure that you make it through. It hurts. You suffer. It's painful. But if you're going to learn anything, if you're going to be worth anything, if God's going to use you, if you're going to be any benefit to the kingdom of God, the Lord's going to have to humble you, that the power of Christ may rest upon you, that you might be useful. And when he does that in your life, his grace will be sufficient, because his grace is sufficient. In the eternal present, the grace of God is sufficient. So when the Lord tells the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient, I'm sure there's a big gulp in his throat. Okay, so you're saying no. You're not going to deliver me from this. Right, I'm saying no. But you are saying it's your grace. So I know about that. I've been preaching that so I can make it. And what are you saying, Lord? Well, I'm saying that when I make you weak through this, then you're going to be useful because there's too much of your strength involved. And I can't let you do that because it won't be a benefit to anybody if it's coming from you. It's got to be from God. If the Lord doesn't build the house, then they that build it in vain. And if the Lord's going to use us, he's going to have to not evict us and place himself in there and do it through us, working in us according to his pleasure, to will and to do. And he does that. And we need it. We need it. And I want to be used by God. I don't want the trials that come with it, but that's part of the package. I want to be used by God enough to say, okay, now here I go. How many times, Ellen, I don't know. I've been to the pulpit and said something like that. Then tomorrow I go, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. You ask him, you get. What you ask for, you receive, right? You ask, you receive, you knock, it opens. I'm not asking for trouble, but I'm telling you, I'd rather have some and be a benefit for the Lord, be able to be used by God, than walk around with a big head puffed up, not able to be any good for anybody else. And if it identifies me with Christ, even the more better. I get to know him. And when I see him, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when I see him, he's going to look at me, and we're going to know each other in a whole different way than we would have known each other if he'd have just zapped us all and brought us to glory and said, here, worship me. But now, I'm going to worship him and fall at his feet. I'm going to fall at his feet, and I'm going to weep, and I'm going to hold on to those feet if he's going to let me hold on to them. And I'm going to praise and worship him for his grace, and I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to say, look what you went through for me. And the holes will be in his hands and in his feet and in his side. The Lamb of God that was slain. And then he's going to say, yeah, you went through some stuff too. And I brought you through. And yeah, you went through it too. Yeah, you went through it. I know you too. Like I would have never known if I hadn't had some trouble. Since I had some trouble, I learned to trust you. I learned a lot about you. So when I get here, I already know you. Because I've been through some things. I had to lean on your heart, but you're always there. And he said, yeah, I was. I told you I wasn't going to leave you. I told you I was going to get you all the way here. And he goes, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You enter with that giant throng of people saying, worthy, worthy art thou to receive glory and honor and power. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for thou hast been slain and hast redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people by thy blood, by the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today that when we face things in our life, sometimes there's trouble that comes and goes, but then there's thorns, like they're just gnawing at us, like they're poking at us. And these things, they seem like they won't go away. And maybe